Tonight on TMSPM, Veep has a prob.
Divergent is divergent.
It really is. When you hear about it, it'll all make sense. Kerr can never get away from Snapchat.
Pokemon has ideas.
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMSPM.
Hey everybody, welcome back to TMSPM. TMSPM for Thursday the 21st, 2016. It's 3:31 p.m. Mountain Time, only time zone that matters. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian.
Hello, welcome to TMSPM. You're listening to this at 2x speed. You better slow it down in your podcast app listener program.
Yeah, who does that? What weirdos do that? Tom Merritt does that. He's weird.
Tom Merritt does that. I do that with a few shows.
Yeah, so what's your criteria, though? How do you choose?
It has to be a show that doesn't contain music.
Okay.
And it has to be a show where the hosts frequently leave longer gaps between the words that they say.
Ah, okay.
And I don't do 2x. I do 1.3 or 1.5.
Okay, so if it's a show like, trying to think who leaves significant gaps in their show.
Dan Klass does in Bitterest Pill.
Oh, take that, Dan Klass.
But he does that. He does that with for dramatic effect, and I do appreciate that.
Okay.
And to some degree, those stay in there, but
because there's a setting on Overcast where you can have it not speed up, but have it eliminate all gaps of space.
Yeah.
And the problem is there's an art to doing pauses. Mm-hmm. Like you're totally talking about. And I think Dan does a pretty good job of that.
Dan nails it, yeah.
Yeah, and so as a result, it's kind of like messing with the formula if you change that. But I also understand it. I get that people want to get the work done.
But the problem is that they have somebody calling in, like doing a phoner or something, or playing a voicemail. Mm. If that caller isn't the same volume as the rest of the hosts, the rest of the audio,
yeah,
then it chops. It feels like it chops that up really, really aggressively. Wow. So,
all right,
you know, you'll find the hosts are at, you know, constantly operating at like a 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And if that, it's only the point that the caller is a 7 or 8 do they stay intact.
Well, I was, you know, it's good that you have a method to that madness, though. You know, if you're gonna do it, have a reason.
I gotta say, by the way, I'm slightly distracted by a great photo that Liquorbot put in the chat room.
Okay.
Of this, will pertain to listeners as well. It's of a screenshot from Fox News Live covering the RNC.
I see it already.
And they're doing a live broadcast from the RNC floor, and behind the talking head main guy that's doing the doing the announcing there, is a dude walking around in a, a Charmander onesie?
Charmander onesie. Gee, I wonder who that is.
One and only, our friend.
Yep. That is perhaps the greatest thing in the history of Earth. Wow. That's really great, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
So good on whoever captured that. If that was you, Liquorbot, well done, sir. That is fantastic.
Whoever nailed that.
I don't know if there's any relation from Max Trollbot and Liquorbot, but maybe you guys should get together, if not, and plug each other's ports.
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
No, that's robot speak. That's perfectly acceptable talk.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hey, I need some advice. I have a house here with the two children of mine that live in it. One's name is Nick. The other is Carter. And it's a huge mess right now. And Kim's out of town till Saturday because she's at a camp thing, and we're not going to see her till then. So what do I do? Do I hire somebody? Do I make these two do it? Do I do it all myself? Like, suddenly, without the full Johnson team, it just seems like a big, horrible thing.
Right. Now, when does she get back? Saturday?
Saturday afternoon or evening.
Tomorrow.
Morning.
So what? How are we talking? Category 4? Are we talking?
If you're okay, so we'll do it like hurricanes.
Tropical storm,
probably
hurricane?
A category. Okay, let's say it's a category 1 through 5, 1 being the lowest, 5 being the highest.
Sure,
we're at like a 3.
Oh, wow,
yeah, it's pretty high. It's not the worst thing you've seen. It's not like an episode of Hoarders or something.
Get Matthew Broderick in here stat to play some tic-tac-toe against the house.
Right. But it's just kind of, I don't know. I feel like it got away from us in just the few days that she was gone. She's only been gone since Tuesday morning. And truthfully, part of the problem is, you know, when you got a kid who's not in school all day and another one who's doesn't care. I'm trying to see if they can get their attention, but they're not.
Yeah, this is all, so they're in the room with you playing Overwatch.
Yeah, they're playing Overwatch over there. They're, and they're being very quiet and very studious, but they're not they're not paying attention to me.
I expect Carter is going to start laughing, you know, at any moment, right? You know, like
she does that.
Still staring at the screen, but just kind of laughing because she's here. She hears what you're saying.
Or she'll
punch
me.
So here's what you do. You know, you get to play general.
Yeah.
You're going to make a list of the rooms, and you're going to say, all right, pick one of these rooms, kids. It's going to be your responsibility to get that room back up to snuff. And then you'll pick a room. You'll do this too.
Okay.
And then as soon as somebody's done with one room, they go and grab another room from the list.
Okay. Gosh, dang it. It's just, you know, like I want to, it's also, I'm in that week of like, I'm fun dad.
Yeah, of course.
We're all playing Overwatch.
You can be fun dad with the exception of the last day.
Right.
But
exactly.
But boy, if, you know, if Kim comes back home and the house is a mess, she's going to take your Pokeballs away and that might be a euphemism. It might not be.
I think it might not in this case. Well, anyway, I'll let people know how it goes, but for now, news.
Radio today is different.
Oops.
Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's time for the evening news brought to you by.
Brought to you by the evening news.
Oh, catch there is it nothing. Now. Yeah. Oops. Yeah, catch it now. Catch it.
Evening news appears.
I've got some evening news for everybody. For example, here's a little taste. Veep guest star Peter McNichol, you know him from Ghostbuster 2's nerdy guy at the museum.
Oh, that's right.
Painting came
why
in.
Why am I drippings with goo?
That guy, yeah. Basically. Yeah.
And Ally McBeal and what's his relation to Christy McNichol?
I don't think any, is there? Are they related?
Really?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. They could be. Brother, sister, maybe?
I'm curious.
All right. Brian,
he's got to be, there's got to be some relation, right?
Brian is McNichol curious. Look that up. Let's see. he's the guy from Ally McBeal whose nose would whistle in meetings.
Right.
Which was great.
And had to have the remote toilet flusher.
Yeah, that guy's great. He was really funny, I thought, in there. Anyway, I guess he's on this season of Veep, which you are caught up with and I'm not.
Yes. He is the whole Noah storyline
has been good.
I'm sorry, not Noah. Jonah storyline is just brilliant. It is my favorite thing about this season.
Remind me who Jonah is. Jonah's someone.
Jonah's the
know.
Big tall guy who thinks he's hot stuff, but really isn't.
Right, the one that's the president. Okay, so in previous seasons, he was the president's aide, and he would just come bugger sometimes.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
Okay.
Right. And he's lost all that power, and now he's, you know, he had his blog for a while after he got fired. And
that's great. Oh my God. That sounds great to me.
His whole season, this whole last season, funniest. I'm going to go on record and say, I laughed harder at Veep than any other TV show I watched this season.
This season, wow. Mm-hmm. And you had some shows you liked too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, I mean, Silicon Valley was killing it this year. They were great. Mm-hmm. What else?
You notice all the
always good.
You notice all the HBO crossover they had in Ghostbusters. They had the dude from Silicon Valley doing the tour of the museum thing.
Right. Right.
And
Gabe.
Then later, yeah, Gabe. And then later you got
Gabe on the Office. I can't remember what he was. Or no, he wasn't Gabe on the Office. What was his name?
I think he was Gabe on the Office, wasn't he?
Was he Gabe on the Office?
I think he was Gabe on the Office.
Woods, I think, is his name.
You heard
Zach
it,
Woods.
You heard it here first. Brian says that he was gay on the Office.
Okay. All right.
And then the other guy, the guy from Veep, who's the balding, kind of reddish hair, mustache guy, who is like her handler.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing now in the show, but because I'm only in the first season or second season still.
Sure.
But he's one of the FBI guys in Ghostbusters.
Right. That's right. I forgot about that. That guy's on everything. He was part of the Upright Citizens Brigade, I believe, on Comedy Central for a while with Amy Poehler. And
he's one of them.
He's one of them. And he
didn't know that.
He is just a riot. He's great on Veep too. I mean, it was, you know, there weren't any bad parts of Veep. this year, this last season.
Well, I cannot wait to catch up.
Get caught up.
I'm catching up. So, but here's the deal. The Veep guest star, Peter McNichol there, he got an Emmy nomination here recently. Everybody was all excited about it. Now it's been revoked. And you might say, why? Is it because he's related to Christy McNichol somehow? No. The answer is no.
And he's not, by the way.
Okay.
I can confirm. And plus, in looking them up, she's a McNichol with an M-C. Oh. He's a MacNichol.
Oh, he's MacNichol, like McDonald's. Right.
Right. Yes.
Right. Okay. She's a menu item on his menu. That's how it works. He's MacNichol. She's McNichol. See.
And by the way, he's Matt Walsh is the guy you're thinking of with the mustache and the reddish hair.
Okay, I love that guy.
He's also hilarious, and he's been in just about everything.
I like how sweaty he gets. I think he was I think he was underused in Ghostbusters. Barely used him enough.
Yeah.
He had like two lines, and that was about it. Yeah. Anyway, Veep's Peter McNichol has lost his comedic guest actor and Emmy nomination after running afoul of a technicality. During a rules overhaul last year, I didn't know they had one, the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences stipulated that in order to be considered as a guest star, an actor must appear in less than 50% of the season's episodes. It was one of the changes put in place to prevent the category shopped, category shopping, rather, that marked the 2014 nomination process. McNichol, who plays Jonah's uncle and political power broker Jeff Kane, appeared in 5 of the 10 fifth season episodes, though HBO told the Associated Press that he was only scheduled to appear in 4 at the time his name was put in for consideration, all of which had already aired. But when he appeared for a few seconds in the documentary episode Kiss Your Sister, he crossed the 50% threshold by a couple of seconds.
Which is funny because the documentary episode, for the most part, was a documentary perspective of the first part of the season.
Mm.
So all the stuff that had happened before. So a lot of that was footage that I'm sure they shot.
Yeah.
And certainly Peter McNichol's appearance, I believe, was stuff that they'd shot for earlier in the episode.
Now, I'm no expert on rules or regulations or anything like that. And I understand why they did this year to stop some of the problems they were having with guest star roles.
Sure.
But if it's just a couple of minutes and the context is it's part of this weird documentary thing.
Not even a couple of minutes. It's a few seconds.
Or seconds. It really it's just a few seconds. So you can't even count it as a full 51%.
Right.
I think
it's 50. The problem is that it's 50%. It has to be less than 50% of the episodes.
All right. But so even then, though, like whatever that threshold is, if you're literally a couple of seconds over the threshold, come on, man.
No, but see, what if somebody lost?
Letter
and
of
then
the
they tweeted the Emmy board with a thing that said, "We let you know about this issue months ago, and you didn't do anything about it." And then they had to issue a statement saying Veep are a bunch of cheaters, and this is a big scandal.
Yeah,
which they then recanted, and then they just said, "Fine, we're going to keep the prizes the same, and then everybody still has to buy their own Emmy trophy." I'm sorry. Am I getting this confused with something else?
Let me think.
This show is so gay.
All right. I think I get it now.
I don't know if I want to call it a labor of love after this year.
I know. It does sound kind of familiar now that you mention
it. Does sound kind of familiar.
I don't know I don't know what it's like. I'm not going to say any words that sound like the thing, like
the jizz whiz
or anything like
bearded fruit.
I don't know. I don't know.
So I'm curious.
About.
I mean, I wonder if you appear in the previously on Veep.
Yeah.
But you don't appear in that episode. Does that count as you appearing in that?
Yeah. Does that count against your seconds or your
show?
Time?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's
it's
a really
not
good
seconds.
Question.
It's just basically you make any appearance in an episode and boom, you're in that episode. And you just, if there are 10 episodes in the season, then you have to be in less than 5. You have to be in 4 or less.
So if you're in 4 or less episodes, even if those episodes are 9 hours long per episode, you're still cool.
As long as you appear in them in any shape or form.
Yeah. See, that's how you get around this. You have like 3 hour episodes. Or you say, hey, for our show, every 3 hours is one episode for us. I don't know about the rest of the industry, but that's how we do it. We should still, like, you could see them going a little bit crazy with it, but
yeah,
it doesn't sound like
I wonder if Julie
Newmar.
Why can't I remember her name? She played
Louis Dreyfus.
Martell, not Martell.
Marjorie
Tyrell's grandmother.
Oh, I love her.
Game of Thrones. Yes, and she is fantastic, and I wonder if she appeared in less than half of the episodes this season.
Oh, she totally did. She totally did. Yeah. Way, way less. In fact, it bugged me that how little she was in it. I like her a lot.
I do too. Well,
she showed up like twice. But she's nominated, eh?
I don't know if she's nominated, but she should be because she's always fantastic.
You know what? No disagreement here. She's so good.
Yeah.
Here's some Divergent news. And here, now you can get my Divergent joke. It's real bad.
Okay. All right.
Are you ready for my bad Divergent joke?
Sure.
Some Divergent star is expected to opt out as the finale shifts to television.
Oh, it's going to diverge to TV.
Yeah, they're diverging to television.
I said divergent. It's divergent, right? Not divergent.
It's you can say divergent. It's fine.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a two-way street there.
Carbon dioxide, carbon dioxide.
Yep. Diablo.
Diameter or diameter.
Diameter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's totally interchangeable. Perfect.
Diameter. Some Divergent stars are saying, I don't know if I want to go to TV or not. Sources say the studio will reconfigure the project, dubbed Ascendant, as a TV movie and position it as a spinoff series. In a shocking move, Lionsgate is jettisoning the finale of its Divergent series to the small screen. So they are not going to do part three. This is like Star Wars going, New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, and the television premiere of
exactly.
Return of the Jedi. It's weird.
Right. That is going to be really weird. Yeah. Usually it's the other way around, right? We're going to do all these TV shows, but then we're going to do our finale as a movie or at least a follow-up to the finale. X-Files did it. Sure, there are other great examples that I could come up with, but I'm not going to.
I can't either.
There's talk that Community is going to do it.
Yeah. There was another one that was going to do it. Arrested Development was going to do it. They say that's still possible.
Right.
What was the other one? There's one other one that I was hearing about recently. This is going to bug me.
Somebody's, yeah, I mean, you can't count stuff like 21 Jump Street and...
No.
Those are... Right. Not a true...
Beverly Hillbillies.
Right. No, it's got to be... yeah, X-Files is like the perfect example.
That's a pretty good example. But what's another? There's one recently where some show ended and everybody was sad.
Oh, Entourage.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody was sad, though.
Nobody was sad about Entourage.
Except maybe four cast members of the TV show Entourage.
Or Sex in the City. That's also kind of dumb.
Oh, Sex in the City. Yeah, another good example.
Oh, I got it. A good one, too.
What is it?
A movie I've seen 19 times. Any guesses?
Wow, you've seen it 19 times.
Yeah,
19
most
times.
It is the most I've seen any film. I never counted Star Wars, so maybe I've done that more, and I just don't remember. But this is one I've counted.
Oh yes, of course. Thank you, people. Serenity. That's a great
Serenity.
Example.
That's the one. Yeah. And I love Serenity. I could watch Serenity right now. Right again. It's not a problem. Bring it on. Anyway, these guys are getting out. Shailene Woodley starred in the first three films. Oh, there was already three films. So this is a fourth. Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
They never lived up to the expectations as the next big YA franchise. That stands for young adult.
Oh, I thought it just meant ya.
Ya franchise.
It's a ya franchise.
Do you want to go see the latest ya? It is unclear whether she or her co-stars Miles Teller or Ansel Elgort. Is that really his name?
Ansel. I think it's Ansel.
Ansel
like
Elgort.
Ansel Adams, right?
Ansel Elgort.
Ansel Elgort!
Please enter the room, Ansel Elgort. Would return for a TV version, but a source close to the actress wouldn't rule it out. It's worth noting that Woodley has made the leap to the small screen with HBO's upcoming limited series, Big Little Lies, but that likely would be a prestige project. Anyway, yeah, that's weird. It's a little weird. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To have them do that. But hey, we're here. We're ready for you. I don't care about your movies. I haven't seen any of them. All right, next up. I really haven't. I haven't seen any of
the first one.
Stuff.
I was like, great. Tina rented it or we watched it streaming or something because she was curious about it. I don't think she read the books either. I'm positive she hasn't read the books. But
at some point, doesn't it just feel like a pylon to
Hunger Games and Maze Runner and
all stuff.
Those? Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, aren't they all kind of Harry Potter ripoffs? And the thing about... Hunger Games is they were unique enough to make it seem new again, but really...
I wouldn't say that they... I think that there's a formula that started with Hunger Games that they've reused. It's more of like teenagers in a dystopian society that are challenging the system and overcoming a government that wants to somehow repress them and make them feel a certain way or do a certain thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Harry Potter, I don't think that it was really like, yeah, Harry and Ron are going to overturn Dumbledore's oppressive regime and take over the...
It is kind of a millennial. It's the millennial thing, man. They're all going to be into this idea that whoever becomes president whether it's the Wicked Witch of the West or the Idiot on the Hill, one way or the other, they have to take it back from these dumb adults that have ruined the world.
Exactly.
This is how you and I like a good dystopian tale of zombies, deserts, and exploded nukes. They are into the teenagers survived, and they're the ones that'll fight back and take it back from the olds.
I mean, seriously, when you look at these things, the Donald Sutherland character is the same as the Kate Winslet character, is the same as the Sigourney Weaver character. You know, friendly enough, but as soon as the doors close...
then all bets are off.
Right, exactly. You know, they're Mr. Burns when the lights are off, you know.
Sounds right to me.
All right. Anyway.
Miranda Kerr, are you familiar with her work?
She's a model, isn't she?
Yeah, lovely lady. Yeah. Did a lot of, I think she's aging out of it in terms of that industry, but she did a lot of, what do you call that there in the mall? Like Victoria's Secret there?
Oh, right. Yeah, she's pretty for a living.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah. She's like... For whatever reason, genetically.
And you know, there's people on both sides. There's men who are pretty for a living, too. I'm not making any sort of generalization, but...
No, you're a Thor for a reason, dude.
Right.
You get to be Thor in the Marvel movies, not because you're Robert De Niro. You're getting to be Thor because you are a hunky Australian man.
That's right.
And your brother is also hunky and Australian. And so is the other brother. There are three of those brothers running around. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with the story. Miranda Kerr.
Tribe against the Hemsworths. Well done.
I know, it's pretty good. You know, I like to go after the brothers in Hollywood of various kinds. So you got them. You got your Baldwins.
Sure.
Who else is there? There's others.
Quaid. An Australian knock at the door.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, is Mr. Johnson here? I'd like to talk to him.
Oi, come out in the yard.
Oi.
Oi.
Energizer. It'll surprise you.
All right, Miranda Kerr.
Anyway, Miranda Kerr.
And founder of Snapchat, Evan Spiegel, are getting engaged.
Oh, that's nice.
A Snapchat founder and Miranda Kerr. He's a nerd and she's gorgeous. I don't know how that worked out. Money, probably.
It says, enjoy the wedding photos while they last.
Yeah. 7-second wedding photos for everyone. with some bad text overlaid. Anyway. congratulations are in order for Miranda Kerr and her billionaire boyfriend, Evan Spiegel. The Daily Mail revealed on Wednesday that the hot couple are officially engaged after it was revealed last week that the Snapchat founder was looking at rings. He sure popped the question quickly, says Perez Hilton.
Ugh. With every single sentence ending with an exclamation point. Thank you, Perez.
Can't deal with it. Can't stand it.
No. Perez doesn't have periods.
No kidding. Perez has no periods. Nice. In case you didn't know, the 33-year-old, that's Miranda Kerr, she's 33, started dating the 26-year-old, that's the billionaire Evan Spiegel.
Evan Spiegel.
Last year after splitting from Orlando Bloom in 2013. That's who she was with before.
Okay.
And the problem is, she says, have you seen my favorite shirt? And he would always say, they're taking your shirt to Isengard. And she got sick of it and said, that's it, I'm out. Jeez. I went a long way for that bad joke.
That was a really long way.
Yeah, it was a long way.
It's all right. Six people are laughing their heads off uncontrollably right now on the bus.
Well, maybe seven because they're
one
truly...
One of them is listening to our show. The
fellowship of the joke. Anyway, she split with him, but they have a kid named Flynn. Okay. He owns an arcade, and he's going to get shrunk like the size of an orange and get sucked into Tron World. she says this, well, they're going to be one big happy now, says... one big happy family now. Oh, gosh. Pokemon Go. That's been a big success, you know, here. It's been a big deal. People like it.
I'm liking it.
It's good.
It's motivation for me to get on the bike, and I don't care. When the haters start hating it, I'm still going to use it as a way to get out on the bike. I don't care.
Well, as you know, as the kids say, dude, haters gonna hate.
That's right.
Pokemon Go's incredible success helped greenlight a film project that is live action. You know, two weeks into this, and we're already making some big mistakes.
Get Shuri, quick, get him while he's hot.
grab that Charmander. He's in Cleveland. So Pokemon Go's, despite debuting way back in 1995, Pokemon is currently at the peak of its popularity thanks to Go. The Niantic augmented reality app has more daily users than every other social media service, which perfectly exemplifies why we're not shocked that a live-action Pokemon movie is actually going or happening. That's right, nerds. Legendary Entertainment will be teaming up with a Pokemon company and releasing a feature-length adaptation of their newest video game, Detective Pikachu, which with production starting as early as 2017. I need to go throw up when I hear my Detective Pikachu sounds right. Terrible.
I'd like to bring our detective in here to ask you a few questions. Please sit down. Do you need a cigarette? Do you have something to drink? No, I'm fine. All right, let me bring our detective in.
Who's playing?
Pikachu?
Pika? Choose you.
Pika, Pika?
That's a terrible question, too. It doesn't have an answer. With no direct relation between Go and the new movie, it cannot be... Well, of course there's no connection other than the Pokemon name.
Right. Oh, yeah, the movie would just be so exciting.
Yeah, just walking around. Hey, that thing reset. We can go get some balls. End scene.
The movie would quit half an hour early because the servers went down.
It says here that 25%... it's 50% market cap and 25% stock growth for Nintendo in less than a week. That's so crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
There's no word on casting yet. We think it's safe to say they say here that Danny DeVito is the clear choice for a voice of Pikachu. Well, that's a dumb joke, Perez
that's
Hilton.
Really dumb.
That's super dumb and random and dumb.
Because he's short?
That's lame.
All right, Perez, are you in the running to play Jigglypuff?
I'm never pulling another Perez Hilton story.
Because of all the pink on your website? Come yeah, on,
it's,
man.
It's bad. Also, jeez. That website looks like it was made in 2002. Time to update.
Well, that's being generous.
All right. Well, we're going to take
so much fuchsia.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's some app stuff. We're going to do review a couple of apps. And then also after that, it's your questions on Twitter at the AskTMS hashtag. So if you're listening right now live and you forgot to do one, you have a last minute chance to do it now. But before all of that,
Peter Fisher is typing one right in right now.
Oh, good.
Now,
yeah. Guarantee you. Always count on Peter Fisher. We got a little indie in the middle, though, I understand.
Yes, we do. All right. This one's fun. This one just came out June 10th. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was thinking, I wonder if in the future, when we have an indie in the middle that has a music video, if I should just send you a link to the music video and you can actually show that on your screen.
We can show it and play it. Sure.
Sure. Well, this time you're just going to have to imagine what the music is like. This is fun. If you're a fan of Stiff Records and Reckless Eric specifically, I think you're going to like this because that's who Wesley Fuller kind of reminds me of. This brand new EP called Mel Vista, a 5-song EP, just came out, like I said, earlier this month. And it's both confident and addictive, melding psych pop sensibilities with crunchy guitars and a bold perspective.
Nice.
Yeah, just flowed right off the tip of my tongue. I did not read it. It was purely just came out. He's from Melbourne, Australia. Here is Wesley Fuller and the title track of this brand new EP. This is fun. It's called Mel Vista. Well, it was happening in Mel Vista.
You slipped away.
Like, it's so good. There's nothing bad.
It's just infectious fun.
We don't have any bad indie in the middles.
No.
There's the only thing you can count on. What is it? Taxes? What's the old phrase?
Death, taxes, and indie in the middle.
That's it. Those three things. D, T, I.
I, T, M.
D, I, T.
I, T, M.
Diatribe. All right. What? I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. It's just stuff coming out of my mouth at this point. Why don't we, I don't know, wander over into this corner of the room where this little file exists and I can click on it and play it. Oh, there it is. I found it.
App Slappy.
I love that theme so much. It's time for us to talk about some apps that we like and enjoy. Review them, really. It's kind of a short form version of reviewing, but nonetheless, we're going to do it. Now, my recommendation, usually I do a game or something, and I have games to review, but I'm not doing one today.
Okay.
Instead, good. I'm going to review a new process I'm using.
A process?
Yeah. Now, I'm still early enough in it that I may take some turns and alter my direction or whatever, but I have been drawn more and more to the idea of simple text entry for time, task, and project management.
Sure.
And in the past, I've done a lot of different things. I've jumped around, used different, you know, sort of to-do apps and, you know, try to get stuff that seems to be working well. And then I'll kind of change my mind, try something else for a while. And everybody's always got some hot new idea. And I try it for a little bit. And then I usually go back to what I'm used to or whatever. Well, Ryan, I'm excited to tell you about this combination of things that I'm using now that I'm very happy with. Now, this specifically applies to someone who's using any sort of computer. So if you're using a Mac, a Windows PC, Linux, doesn't matter. Any of those, you know, primary operating systems will do what I'm trying to do on the desktop anyway. I started using an application on the desktop called NVAlt. And that's short for Notational Velocity Alternative.
Oh, okay.
So you've heard of Notational Velocity.
I have, yeah. It syncs up your your notes with your with a similar program on your phone on your
exactly
iPad.
More,
yeah.
More importantly, it's this search functionality of that thing is what makes it pretty special. So you can do inline searches that are immediate. So it's not like you type a thing, hit enter, and wait for it to come back. As soon as you start typing a thing, anything in the database that includes the letters you've just typed starts show up.
Yes. Right.
And that's what makes it kind of awesome and quick, right? Mm-hmm. So I have this system that combines, and this is not based entirely on my own ideas. This is based on some other people's suggestions. I've read some other blog posts about this, so I'm kind of applying a bunch of different thinking here.
Sure. I use that for the Fried Pants All-Stars.
Oh, very nice. See, so you're familiar. You know how that
I'm
thing
familiar.
Works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a couple of ways that people have used it in the past. One is you can either use Notational Velocity or this new one that I'm using called NVAlt, which is basically that and all the functions you're used to, but also includes markup language and stuff. So you can create little text boxes and lists and all kinds of markup, you know, bolding and linking and stuff like that. You can format a lot more things if you want, which is nice. But anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Either one of those that you're using is fine. But most people, what they'll do is use that on the desktop, and then they'll sync that with Simple Note, which has an open API for syncing, and then you use Simple Note when you're on the go. And that syncs with that thing. Well, I tried that and didn't like that. I think Simple Note is great for what it is, but Simple Note doesn't support some of the features I want that NVAlt does. So I did some hunting around, and I found an application. It was $5 on iOS. I don't know if this is on Android. I hope it is, because I'm really pleased with it. It's called OneWriter. It's the number one, and then the word writer. It's $5, but it is a text, text-based editing hoo-ha thing with the same kind of search functionality that I was just talking about. It lets you sync to Dropbox where notational velocity files are kept. So all you're doing is now, instead of using Simple Note as your sync, you're using Dropbox as your sync. And so between those two programs, both mobile and desktop, everything's staying in sync all the time. And it creates actual text files, which is nice because you could read it in some third-party thing if you ever had a problem. Anyway, and by the way, you could still go ahead and sync this through Simple Note too, if you wanted. It's like a backup plan if you wanted to.
But having it be something that you've already got, you know, it doesn't force you to add something else to sync with. You know, being able to use the functionality with Dropbox makes it a very, very appealing.
Totally agree. And what I'm doing with it is I've decided to for now, to see how this will go. I've dumped all my to-do apps that I was using before. And instead, I'm doing the system of kind of precursoring the titles of these notes. So everything that needs to be done right away has a QQ in front of it. Kind of like, QQ.
So you cry about it?
I'm QQ, kind of, basically. But no, the reason you do that is when you do a search for QQ, nothing else is QQ. That you can't spell an English word with QQ in the front. So if you put QQ anywhere in your, either the body of the thing or in the title of the thing, it doesn't matter. All you're going to get are results that have QQ in it because there's no such thing as random words with QQ in them. You can't spell QQ quacko. And like, there's no word with two Qs.
You're not going to have a...
So that's why the Q. You can use it in front of an N. So like when I do something that's new that I need to evaluate whether I need to do it or not, or just need to make note of it, I'll put a QN in there. So that means Q new. If it's done, if it's something I've finished but I need to hang on to and I want to search by that, I put a little QX and I can change it to an X from a Q or whatever. If I have something that needs to be really badly done that day and needs to be super focused, I do QQQ, because then if I put just the two Qs in, I get the entire day's thing, including the hard
including
ones.
Including those, right.
But if I add another Q, then it narrows it down just to the two that I'm saying are absolute must-dos. So it's like this weird, texty, quick, shortcut, key-based sort of method. If this isn't anything groundbreaking, tons of people are doing it, but I'm going to try to see how I do with it. Anyway, that combination, totally working for me. NVAlt is totally free. It's cross-platform. You get it on no matter what your platform is. And I don't know about Android, but I know for sure on iOS, you can spend $5 and end up with OneWriter, which completely syncs and works with it. And I really, really like it. So I'll report back on how that goes. But right now, productivity-wise, totally digging it.
That's cool.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, and I might have to take a look at that. That's Buffalo Sabres is the...
Is that who makes it?
No, take that back. Buffalo Sabres is the... It's funny, I'm doing a search for OneWriter app, and the first thing that comes up is official app from Buffalo Sabres, now in the App Store. But Buffalo Sabres is a hockey team.
Oh, here it is.
I don't think they're involved in this.
It's OneWriterApp.com, but it's the number one, and then...
The problem is I was spelling out one.
Yeah. So it's OneWriterApp.com.
There it is.
Has a link to the stuff, and it shows you all the features and stuff. Cool. And they don't even go into this combination. It just works really well. Like it's just easy, simple. The integration into Dropbox, piece of cake.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. That's cool.
Me pleased. So there's that. All right, what do you got? You got some.
I do, and look at this. I'm not doing a game today either. This is something that was recommended to me by Les Gebhardt, Tad Pooligan, and when he was coming back from Warcraft, from seeing Warcraft in Salt Lake City, he and Abby stopped by, and he was telling me all about this, actually while we were all at Casa Bonita, believe it or not.
Yeah,
and the program is called, or the application is called Ibotta, and its website, I'm sure it's on every mobile platform, Android and iOS, and probably Windows as well. But what it is it's a way to get rebates on the things you're probably already buying. Now, you're saying to yourself, oh, Brian, not another coupon site or some way of forcing me to buy things I don't want to buy. No, Scott, I'll say to you.
Okay.
This is really cool. And while there are some things that are like products, and it's like, you're buying Lay's potato chips? Great. Here's a 20-cent rebate on Lay's potato chips, and all you have to do is take a picture of the UPC code and upload your receipt. And it's for so many things. Like, I'm pulling up, right now I'm in their dining category, but let's look at groceries. So let's say you're going to be going to the grocery store, and maybe you want to pick up some Tropicana juices or Hefty kitchen bags or Daisy cottage cheese. I mean, these are all things that are things you'd probably already be picking up.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also have things like any orange juice brand or bananas or any bread. And again, all you have to do is just take a picture of the UPC code and then upload it. You start this little account on your deal, on your phone, and you do the shopping you're going to do anyway. Or you can look at this thing before you go shopping and say, oh, you know, I was going to pick up some salad dressing. I guess I'll get Hidden Valley Ranch instead. And you'll get 50 cents back here, 75 cents back here. Now, here's where it's just a magical thing. Not only do they have all these grocery categories, but they've also got dining categories. And if you're planning on going to like Ruby Tuesday, for example, I don't know if they still have it, but they did for a while and it was great. I'm looking in there. It doesn't look like they have it right now. Mm. But they had a thing where $5 back on any meal at Ruby Tuesdays. No stipulations. As long as you spend 20 or more, then you get $5 back. And you could actually be at Ruby Tuesdays, pull up this app. You don't need to like do this 24 hours in advance or anything like that. Just pull up this app while you're at Ruby Tuesday. You take a picture of your receipt before you put your credit card on it and send it back with the waiter, and you'll get $5 back in your account. It is really, really slick. Jeez, and it seems so easy. It's super easy. And if it weren't so damn easy to do, there's no way I'd do it. There's no way I'd stick with it. But Best Buy has a bunch of rebates. I think you'll get $5 if you spend $100 at Best Buy. I mean, you know, if you were going to do it anyway, then it's a really good deal.
Wow, that's great.
Buy an HP printer, get $10 back, or Adobe Photoshop Elements, get $10 back. So it's called Ibotta, Ibotta. It's almost like you're typing my last name, but not quite.
Yeah, Ibotta.
Ibotta, yes. If there were two B's and no A, then it would be perfect.
Nice.
But yeah, so it's pretty cool. Check it out, Ibotta, or I think it's just ibotta.com. Yeah, Ibotta.com. And we almost should do a tadpool team, because I think the more people you have in a group, in a team of people who do it, mm-hmm. the more rebates you get back. Like it increases tremendously. So
that's totally great. Worth it. That seems awesome. Look at us doing productivity and money earning potential apps and not video games.
Exactly.
I would take time to tell people about Soccer Legends or Micro Machines or Politaire.
Or the new Two Dots sequel.
I heard about that. I haven't seen that yet, though. Oh, I want to try it. Is it good?
It's good. It's just like Two Dots. There's no, you know, it's not. I'm still in the first 12 or so tutorial levels, but so far pretty much the same thing, which, you know, it's a working formula.
When are they going to go Three Dots?
Oh no, Three Dots.
That's crazy. Also, might I reckon, you know how there's so many stupid little throwaway quickie dumb apps that are like kind of cool looking, but short and full of ads and that sort of thing.
Sure.
I found one that I can actually recommend, and I'm not going to review it, but I'm going to recommend it. Just everyone go try Polyforge. It's free. They sometimes let you do ads if you want to have another try or something, but you can skip those even. It's Zen-like and it'll chill you out.
Really?
It's called Polyforge. Yeah. It's really neat.
It right now.
Yeah. It's free. You should try it. Just a little small mention. It's cool. Nothing, you know, there's nothing about it where you're like, oh, Poly, let me tell everyone, let me shout it to the world. But it's enough to, I don't know, get me excited.
Wow. Oh, this is so cool. Just looks, it does. It looks mellowing. Just the photos.
Super mellow. Yeah. Super mellow, non-cluttered, nice music.
I'm guessing that it's got some sort of new agey music that plays in the background while you do this.
Like ambient, like
Me, me.
Perfect.
Something like that.
All right, cool.
All right, it's time for this.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
Goes tweet.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
Well, I sure do. It's time for Twitter questions from you, fine folks at home. You send us questions via the TMS Twitter hashtag, which is AskTMS. That's right. AskTMS is the hashtag, and then we answer them. Here are some now. Open Bayou says, kill, marry, bang. Who should? Which con should die? I don't know what this is. Which con would you marry, attend every year? Which con would you have a one-night stand with?
Okay. All
what's right. the kill, marry, bang part?
Oh, have you never heard the play the game F, marry, kill? So it's like,
oh,
you know, Scarlett Johansson,
I get
Maggie
it.
Maggie Gyllenhaal and Gwyneth Paltrow. F, marry, kill.
Yeah, it's good. I think the order's wrong here, and it was throwing me off.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know.
Well, you got to say which cons, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did he give us a list, or?
He didn't give us that. He just said, which one would you marry? I'd marry Nerdtacular.
You're already married to Nerdtacular.
Yeah, I am.
Does that one count?
She's a wicked mistress. BlizzCon. I'd marry BlizzCon. I like BlizzCon.
There you go.
If,
let's say Nerdtacular is not part of this because we're both so, you know,
yeah.
you so more than me, but
yeah.
more so than me.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right. So marry, yeah, BlizzCon.
BlizzCon's pretty good.
BlizzCon's pretty good. I think I'd bang DragonCon.
For me, it'd be New York Comic Con because it would be just the one night, right?
Oh, right. There you go. Yeah, see, but that's the thing. Dragon Con is like, really, technically, it starts Thursday night, and then you've got all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and all day Monday.
Yeah.
I can only do 2 days of that con. Yeah. I cannot do 4 days.
Yeah, 4 days is a month. I think any con, 4 days is too much.
Yeah, yeah. Which one needs to die?
Yeah, die. Which one do I want to kill, dude? What do we want to kill? It can't be San Diego just because, you know, we're feeling spiteful.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We need it.
Porndex, whatever the one is that the adult video.
The AVN one? No.
Here it is. New Media Expo.
No, you got it. That's it. Get rid of that.
Already dead, though, sadly.
It's already, yeah, someone already killed it.
Someone already killed it.
Bearded Fruit. All right, next up, have you gotten any rare Pokemon? Asks Yus. His name is Yus.
Yes, I have.
How rare have you gotten? I don't think I've gotten that rare of a thing.
I think the rarest one I've gotten is the, is that one that looks like Squidward's head with two little tentacles dangling from it.
Yeah. What's that one called?
It's called, I'm looking for it, Tentacool.
Tentacool. Of course it is.
Seriously. If you look at a picture of Tentacool, here, I don't know. I don't think it's going to pick it up with my phone. Maybe it will.
Let's see.
Can you see it on my screen or my camera?
I love the sound, don't you? Hold on.
It's so fun.
So in my Pokemon, my biggest so far, my rarest so far is an Electabuzz.
Oh, yeah. Got 11 Electabuzz.
Yeah. Did you get one of those?
Is that the three? Oh, no. Electabuzz is the is what Pikachu evolves into.
Oh, he eventually becomes that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know anything about Pokemon. I had no idea.
You need to get like 50 Pikachu candy normally to get an Electabuzz.
And I caught one. He was out running around.
Nice.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I like all the electric dudes. Let's see. Did you get an Exeggcute?
No.
Which is a collection of five eggs.
Yeah.
I got those.
I got a Diglett, but I don't have a Digtrio.
A Diglett?
Looks like it's a little mole dude sticking his head out of the dirt.
I got one Rhyhorn.
Oh, yeah.
And a Tauros.
I think I've almost got enough Rhyhorns that I can evolve him into a whatever Rhyhorn. Let's see here. Oh, no. I've only got 30 Rhyhorn candy.
I got a Vulpix. What's a Vulpix?
Oh, Vulpix. That's like a little nine-tailed fox-looking thing.
You sure that's not a close-up picture of my vulva?
I'm pretty sure.
All right. Just making sure. I got one Psyduck. That's the best I could do on Psyducks. Oh, and then I immediately killed him at a gym. Anyway, yeah, this is rare.
Oh, Pikachu doesn't become Electabuzz? Oh, I was mistaken. Oh. I thought Pikachu became Electabuzz.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I guess Pikachu becomes a Raichu.
Oh, and then who does he become? Is that his final stage? His final evolution?
I guess so.
Okay.
I
never
just
know.
Saw this, you know, big yellow cat that does electricity. I thought, oh, it has to be the next thing.
Yeah.
It has to be the next thing Pikachu does.
It seems normal. And he's electric. Yeah, that's yeah. on with you. I kind of, when you said that, I went, oh, okay, that's cool. But we're yeah. wrong. We're old and we're wrong.
What does, there's an app, by the way, you probably should pick up called Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a free Pokemon Pokedex, basically.
It's not a list of bad people I should kill to satisfy my...
It's like, exactly. Okay. Chop into pieces and dump in the ocean off of your boat.
All right.
No, so if I look at Electabuzz, and we go right here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It evolves from Elekid.
Elekid?
Elekid, which looks like a ball with a plug on it with two little arms and stuff.
Yep, they're all dumb.
Yeah, and all then it evolves dumb. Even further into an Electivire.
Ooh, Electivire. You guys like my... Oh, I can't see it now.
Anyway, Dexter is the app. It's a free app, and
all right.
it's, you know...
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just the 100... It's not the 151 original. It's all of the ever... It's every Pokemon ever, right?
Yeah, but you can sort it and just have the original.
Oh, okay.
And that way you've got, you know... You don't see like all the other ones that you don't need in here. I know it's what's really good about it is that if you see the little shadow and it's not something you recognize, you can go into Pokedex and scroll through and probably see what it is.
Speaking of Showtime, did you watch that Roadies yet?
I heard not yet.
I heard it's not good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard poor things.
Oh, I like the cast.
I like the premise.
It's got one of the Wilson brothers in there, doesn't it?
I think so. Oh, not Owen. Luke in it.
Yeah.
Reviews were poor.
Oh,
we'll have to see.
33% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, wow. It's not good for a TV.
But it's
show.
Like Cameron Crowe and everything. Oh,
I know. But what's he done lately for you?
He's done nothing for me.
He's holding a radio over his head outside right now in your yard. right. If you could, sorry. So here's a roadie question. If you could have been a roadie in your early 20s, which band would you have picked?
The Go-Go's.
Yeah, but they weren't around in your early 20s. Does it have to be bands that are around in your 20s?
Sure, they were around in my early 20s.
The Go-Go's?
Sure.
No. They were long gone. Those guys were like 82 to like 86 or 7, right?
In early I guess so, yeah.
Because 20s for you and me would have been like, you know, we were into the, it was our, you know, Kurt Cobain was already rearing
right.
his head.
Right, yeah, I certainly don't want to be a Spin Doctors roadie.
No. No, Jesus Jones. No,
I mean Spice Girls.
Okay, yeah. No, there you go. Right there you go. Because that's the thing. It would have to be a '90s band for you and
yeah,
I.
Yeah, exactly.
And he says
I think
early.
It's obvious then for me.
Early 20s for us is 90 through, I guess 95, 96.
Yeah.
We'll say 26 is no longer early 20s.
I mean, they've toured since then. I still could have been a roadie for the Go-Go's.
Wasn't she doing her own thing by then? What's her name?
Belinda Carlisle, did her solo thing, but then they got back together and released an album, I think, called God Bless the Go-Go's, which was in the 90s. But the stories that of what they would do to their roadies.
Oh, I heard about some of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was something else. Are you sure they weren't like 12-year-old boys in seventh grade? Because, man, the stuff they'd do. I can't think of a good band. I'd probably say
for the listeners who aren't familiar, what they would do is they would take Polaroids of their privates, shove them under the hotel room doors of the roadies, and say, figure out which of the Go-Go's these belong to.
It's so weird.
Snapchat before there was Snapchat.
So against type, yeah, and they don't disappear sadly.
Totally.
I'm gonna say Pearl Jam. I think I was really into that, and I think that would have been good for me around then. Mm-hmm. Okay, or 311. I like 311 a lot.
Mm,
I was into those guys. In fact,
might
you know
be fun
what?
To be a Daft Punk roadie.
Oh yeah, that'd been all right. And they were big then. They were just getting started. Also, the kids are really into 21 Pilots. I like them too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that 311. People don't give them enough credit. I think 311 is the forerunner. Of 21
the 20th
pilots.
Pilot?
Yeah, they're the 20th pilot. They're 311 additional pilots.
Right.
Okay,
Worst band to be a roadie for, I think, would be Blink 182.
Oh, yeah. For sure. You don't want to go on a Blink tour. Here's one with a question about a thing. Let's see. Okay, how about this one? Would you rather be stuck in a porta potty alone for 2 hours or in an elevator with Donald Trump for 1 hour? This is Katie Talmo. alone in a porta potty 2 hours.
The smell would be about the same.
And it's not because of Trump. I just can't. Elevators. Ugh, I am not a fan of the idea of being stuck in an elevator with any number of people. And I don't care who the person is. That sounds awful to me. So for whatever reason, I'd take that crappy porta potty stuck in there for 2 hours than an elevator with Trump.
Yeah, I'd take the elevator with Trump for an hour. Because I think I could get him to think my way of thinking. I think given 1 hour of time, I think I could turn him around.
Think you could make it happen? Do you think? Here's what I think.
I think I would spend the first half hour out Trumping Trump. These elevators. I have my own elevators. They're huge. And my elevators don't break down. I have the best elevators.
What if I have more
buttons in my elevator than this one does. Way more buttons. And my buttons, they're like a foot high each one. You can push them with your face.
What if you said, Trump, we need to get out of this elevator? He'd say,
I don't care.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to put a wall in the middle of this elevator between you and me.
And then you'll
I'm going to make it a foot higher for every minute that you talk to me.
You'll poke your head around and go, Donald, do you have any food?
Why are you here?
He'll say, why are you here? What else?
We need 5 million beautiful impotent dudes.
That didn't sound doctored at all.
Didn't at all.
What?
Are you gonna listen to a speech tonight?
Yeah, I probably. No, maybe. I don't know. I might transcript it. I don't know if I can deal with it.
I really like how your first thought, yeah. No, probably.
I mean, the more I think about it, because I actually do want to hear what he says. Sure. Or I want to hear what other people either wrote for him or see if he goes off script. But I don't know if I can cringe through it. I can't. I have a really hard time listening to him speak. It's really hard for me.
With the whole Melania thing, and just because of who Trump is and his, you know, managing his own Twitter, I'd almost be willing to bet that nobody writes Trump's RNC speech.
If nobody's Trump writing it, does he write it then? Or does he wing it?
Oh, he definitely writes it.
You think he'll write something? Because he doesn't write things very much. Like he had ghostwriters on all of his books.
Right.
None of them were quote unquote written
by
him.
But it's a speech. I mean, I think he'd probably be a bullet point kind of guy. So yeah, they have it on a teleprompter, says Zoe.
Yeah, they would normally. So my bet is probably more. I don't think he
does. I say he writes it. And
what's
I
his
say
range? He doesn't. The only range I've heard is a lot of repeating words, and you know, just him saying like.
That's when he wings it.
We're gonna win. We're gonna win. We're gonna win,
guys. That's when he basically, you know, has to wing it to fill an hour's worth of time at a rally or something, and only brings 20 minutes worth of bullet points.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't end like this, I'll be unhappy.
Bing, 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 bing.
That has to end like that. Or I'm not in anymore. I'm out.
Okay.
Since Soldier 76 is apparently Farrah's father, says Chat Willett.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Can
cool.
we get some Scott Johnson level dad jokes and voice lines in the game? All right, here's the deal. I don't think that's true. Has that been confirmed?
I don't know. I haven't heard that at all.
Like, there's an argument between Farrah and 76 that happens sometimes before a match, where she'll say, or he'll say, I really respected your mother. And she'll say, you didn't know my mother. I don't know how that says that he's the dad.
Hmm.
And he's not that old. So he's younger than her.
He's got gray hair.
Yeah, but
he's the cable of Overwatch.
He is the cable of Overwatch. He totally is. That's a great way to put it. The cable of Overwatch. Back in my day, we'd have this thing delivered by now.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true yet, Chad. I don't know. I need to confirm that before I'll commit to doing any of that. Scott, what happened to your card game? Says George Mackey. Still being worked on. Still a thing. Still a deal we want to do. So watch for that. Cover Cat says, why did Coverville say my butt smells like chlorine?
I got no answer to that. Sorry, Cover Cat. What? She's sitting over there, by the way. She's sitting on there. She's got her back to me on the back of the couch.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's unhappy.
She's
with
tweeting,
you.
Apparently. Yeah.
Here's one for you. What does bearded fruit taste like? I have an answer for you, Stumpwater Jack.
Kombucha.
It's it's right here.
Bullshit.
There you go. That's what it tastes like. Elephants have an average length of 7.5 meters, says Dean Bartlett. What is
elephant,
the
what elephant? Just elephants?
Just elephants. 7.5 meters. What is the combined average length in centimeters of five elephants? He's testing our math.
Wait a minute. Okay. Give me the number again. So they have a.
So five elephants, all 7.5 meters each average. So we want to know what all of that is together in centimeters.
All right. So,
7.5 times five. Really?
Right.
Right.
No.
No.
375. So 37.5 meters times 100 would make it, 3,750, or no, is that right?
Is that right?
Times 100 moves the decimal that many spots. Yeah, 3,750 centimeters.
Yeah, that sounds right. I think your math's right. Take that, Dean Bartlett. President Bartlett.
Sure I got it wrong, but oh well.
That's fine.
Bullshit!
All right. Next up, Katie Talmo again says, you have to make dinner tonight. What is your go-to dish to cook for the family? Oh, man, I literally am this guy today. yeah. I don't know.
Scott makes a call to the local Buffalo Wild Wings.
Truth is, we'll probably end up at like Cubby's or something. I'm not going to make him eat my food tonight. We did that last night. So
pizza's my go-to. Like if I have to make something from scratch,
make a pizza? I've heard this about you.
Yeah, I do the dough and the KitchenAid mixer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I flatten it out. I let it rise a little bit. And while that's going on, I start chopping up the veggies, onions, and green pepper, and get some pepperoni, get some mozzarella cheese. Boom.
Nice. Look at you. I will always gladly eat whatever pizza you make, it sounds like.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Final question from Mike LaChance. Or Mike LaChance.
I don't know. Mike LaChance.
He says,
I know your father. I know all your fathers.
This is for you, actually.
Okay.
What does Brian's Russian neighbor say after watching reruns of Baywatch?
Wow. Just a nice, easy lob over home plate. Yep. He says, too much Hasselhoff. Too much Hasselhoff.
Well done. Soldier 76 approves. Look at my little guy, you guys. Look at him. Back in my day.
Oh, look at mine.
We're all soldiers now.
Check mine out, Scott. Oh yeah.
I'm not a young man anymore. Oh, the yours is way cooler than this. My pop toy head has more volume than your entire statue. Lame. All right, put them back. All right, we're done. Thanks for those, guys. Ask TMS is the hashtag. Use it on the frequent.
Over Walter and Jesse picking that up, though.
That'll be fine.
They were leaning up against it.
I'm the one who falls.
That's right.
Ask TMS. Use that all week. That's great. Thank you guys for that. And big thanks for being here today. Patreon.com/TMS is the place where you supported us enough to make us have this extra show. And we really appreciate that. If you'd like to contact us and follow us, you can find all our contact details at frogpants.com/TMS. Let's leave. True. You got music? You want to do music?
I do.
Okay.
How about a song? We'll leave with a song in our heart.
Okay.
All right. 23rd of July is my 11th wedding anniversary with my darling wife, Natalie, says Stuart. Over the past 20 months, mind you, we have faced, ready? Number one, an extended separation while I was in India offshoring my job. Number two, my being made redundant. Number three, me starting a new job. Number four, traveling to the U.S., including Nurtacular 2015. Number four, her being made redundant. Number five, her being 4 months out of work. Number six, her finding a new job. Number seven, her struggling with that job and her health as a result of that job. Number eight, me having a relatively minor motorcycle accident. Number nine, the death of her stepmom. Number 10, while she's going through the previous interviewing for her dream job. Number 11, getting her dream job back in the industry she loved. And the final one in this list, I think I lost count because I think I said 12, but it's really number 14, starting her dream job.
Wow.
Through all this, she has stuck with me. She's the other half of my heart, and I couldn't imagine not having her as my wife. Then he says, I love you, Natalie, and look forward to forever together. Grow the love, though. Signed, Stuart.
All right.
Aww.
that's super nice.
So, by the way, an extended separation, Stuart, means something completely different in the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah, when he said that, I went, oh, dude, this is getting dark. But that's, it also, redundancy means something different here, too. So we get it.
It totally does, yeah. And really, your job was made redundant. You're not redundant. Right. You're a unique and special snowflake.
That's right.
He wants a cover of Still the One. Now, not the Still the One by Shania Twain, not the Still the One by Clay Aiken, but the classic Still the One by the Orleans.
You mean
the
like,
band Orleans.
Still the One.
That's the one.
Oh, okay. All right.
And do you remember a song in the 80s, Scott, called Detachable Penis?
Yeah, I do. I used to have that song.
By a band called King Missile.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear them cover Still the One by Orleans.
This is amazing. Really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited for this. All right. Here it is for the men who brought you Detachable Penis. It's Still the One. We'll be back Monday. Come back.
Sometimes I never want to see you again, but I want you to know, after all these years, you're still the one I want whispering in my ear. Your face every day, but I never saw it till I went away. Well, if winter came, I just wanted to go deep in the desert. Our love is like the snow. You're still the one I want to talk to in bed, still the one that turns my head. Still the one that makes me laugh. Still the one that's my better half. Still the one that makes me strong. Still the one I want to take along. Still the one that I love to touch. Still the one and I can't get enough. Still the one that can scratch my itch. Still the one that I wouldn't switch. Still the one that makes me shout. And you're still the one. I was reading the Rolling Stone that Elton John's favorite food is chocolate cake, but he doesn't eat it. That's like saying you're still the one, but sometimes I never want to see you again.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
There are four lights.
Mm-hmm. Mm.